magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends, Eli, Jared, and Mike most of the time. Mike, come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what is up? Welcome to the Touch Arcade Show, episode number 419. Thinking about it, today would have been episode 420 had we been around last week. But unfortunately, Eli was traveling and I happened to be deathly ill. And so we weren't able to do a show anyway. So yeah. I guess we'll have to, if you planned ahead and like threw a big party thing waiting for today, episode 420.
Stocked up on weed for today.
I apologize for that. But so next week will be the big episode 420.
I guess it's the teaser inside of this, as if the teaser before the season finale, this needs to end with an extremely ominous
a crazy cliffhanger. Yeah.
Well, actually, you know, it's going to work out well because episode 420 will be the day after Game Club launches. So it'll be a party all around. So that's unintentional, but cool.
What an excellent segue into our first topic here.
Yeah.
Game Club is launching next week.
Yeah. So the reason I was out last week is I was in our New York offices. The Game Club works out of a WeWork in Midtown in New York, which I can't tell you how much spending a week at a WeWork makes you happy to work from home.
What is a WeWork?
A
co-working thing?
Yeah, so I guess if anyone doesn't know what a WeWork is, it's a shared co-working space where you can like buy little offices inside of that. So it's actually it solves a really kind of interesting problem because like if you are a small company that, you know, has like less than 10 employees, I guess, it's kind of like too much for you to handle having your own office because like there's a lot of shit that you really don't think about that goes into like having an office, like who's responsible for calling a plumber when like, you know, the toilet gets plugged up, and like who's responsible for calling the internet people when the internet's fucked up, and like, you know, who's responsible for organizing like the cleaning people that come and stuff like that. So there's like a lot of just administrative stuff that you typically would hire like an office manager person for that is just sort of like bundled into WeWork. So it really kind of like allows you to have like a really turnkey solution. You basically go to a WeWork and you're like, hey, we got five people. And they're like, okay, you guys are on the 18th floor. Here's your keys. Sign this contract. Here's basically what you'd pay for office space anyway.
And how permanent is it? Can it be flexible to whatever you want?
Well, so that's kind of the rub in that, like, you can cancel at any time. You just have to give, like, a two-month notice or something like that. So it's kind of like a gym membership. But, like, the catch is all these places out there are, like you can't go to another co-working space typically and be like, hey, we're looking for a place in, like, 3 months. And have them like save something for you or whatever like that. Like they're looking for people that like are ready to go today.
Yeah.
So it makes, they kind of get you trapped because you get in this awkward situation where like it's super possible that like maybe you cancel with like a WeWork, and then when you're canceled, you don't have a good like place to go next without paying like double rent somewhere.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's good, take the good with the bad, I guess. So
interesting solution. Well, so what was involved with going to the headquarters, if you will?
So we hired a new person. We hired Laura from The Short Game, if anyone listens to that podcast. It's a podcast I was on maybe 6 months ago or something like that. It's really good. I dig it because it's a podcast that focuses on games that you play in short sessions. So not necessarily mobile stuff, but mobile stuff like falls into it really well.
Right.
I also do, you know, like short interactive fiction and like other kind of like like their most recent episode was on Gone Home, which is a game that takes about like 2 hours to beat, you know?
Yeah.
So we brought her on to handle like user experience stuff and like customer mm-hmm. support and all that kind of stuff, because like a lot of what you don't think of with a small company is like, oh, who's responsible for like setting up how customer support works, and who's responsible yeah. for like responding to tweets, and
that's how we worked it all that.
Yeah, well, like who's responsible for like the wording on the website and all this stuff,
right.
And it's like I'm doing a million different things, so not me. She started last Monday, and I was like, well, I'll fly in too, because like I don't want to be the weirdo on Skype with like a brand new person starting and stuff. So that was cool. Spent a lot of time eating steak in New York, which is outstanding. Like, I don't, New York steakhouses are like fucking legendary. It's insane how good they are. So, so that was cool. But yeah, we've been kind of like keeping our, like discussions surrounding our launch plans kind of like close to the chest, with like the idea being like, where we've kind of told early access people, like, cause we're unrolling from the early access program. It didn't want to do that without like, being like, hey guys, like here's what happens next, you know. But we're trying to kind of like get all our media coverage up next week on this sort of stuff to kind of like coincide with the launch more than like anything else.
I got the email about the launch date and was like, oh, I'm gonna post about this, but then your PR guy Corey,
he's really cool.
Reached out talking about having a trailer and stuff like that, and I was like, well, I'll wait for it to be a little more
because we've got so many like different pieces orbiting right now. Like, we're having the guys that from the trailer farm that did like the Borderlands trailers and stuff like that do our launch trailer, so it's mm-hmm. hopefully gonna be pretty cool. All that stuff. So, you know, like, it shouldn't, like, our launch plan shouldn't come any surprise to anyone. Like, we're launching with I think a little over 50 games. I think we're at like 52 right now. We're trying to launch with as many as possible. 1 month free trial, cancel any time, $5 after that. If you bought any of these games at any point before, you just get the updates for free, and it's just like, you don't have to buy anything twice. We've got a whole cool slate of upcoming content, and we're going to be releasing new games every week. So it's just kind of the start of stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. And so you hooked me up with the early version of your app. So you'll have like this sort of hub app or whatever that lists all the different games, and then you kind of can tap inside that app and it will take you straight to the game or straight to the store to download it if you don't have it installed or whatever.
The app experience is
crazy good.
Yeah,
the app is so phenomenal. I was like, spent more time in the app than I have playing any of the games so far. Because it's just so good, and there's so much content. Like, there's, like, review content, there's, like, tips content, there's guides, there's just historical stuff or whatever. So is that, like, primarily stuff that you've been writing, or do you guys all kind of contribute to
it? Yeah, I've got a bunch of people kind of helping out. I that's going to be part of the announcement. I don't want to give away too much of that because no one can use the app yet. But like
I'm digging too deep. Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's just like, I don't know how we're going to like do the marketing around that. And I want it just to be cool. So I'm not like saying anything stupid, but
I will say that, like, you know, compared to Apple Arcade, it's like far and away better experience, like, and more useful.
I mean, that's what's been kind of insane to me about Apple Arcade was I think we talked about this, like, what the fuck's Touch Arcade going to do in an era where, like, because like when Apple revealed Apple Arcade at the last iPhone keynote, and they were like, oh, and you just go to the App Store and there's all sorts of like stories and guides and everything else. It's like, it's been really weird seeing how many people are like, okay, I subscribe to Apple Arcade, but like, what should I play? Kind of thing, you know.
I feel like all the featuring sections in the Apple Arcade section aren't that great, and there's not really much in-depth stuff about each game or whatever. So you get some screens, you usually get a video and a little description or something like that, but beyond that, it's just like, hey, here's just 100, you know, 70 games or whatever it is, and no guidance on what to do with them.
So. Yeah. So we kind of looked at that and we were like, all right, like, what can we do to solve that problem? Like, what are some things that I really liked about the Touch Arcade app and always wanted to do better, and like all that kind of stuff. And that's kind of like what the app is right now. And it's kind of like just a minimum viable product thing that we really want to improve on later. Like, my dream is to make the app be like OpenFaint 2.0 basically, but that's, a long ways off.
A lot of social connections and stuff like that, and friends lists and all that fun stuff.
Because there's like achievements in there now, but it's like the absolute bare bones achievements, and like, you know, like I just want it to like feel really cohesive and everything else.
Yeah.
And it's getting there, but you know, we'll see.
Well, I won't say too much more, but the app is awesome. And so you're going to launch October 24th. That's what, next Thursday?
Yep. Yeah. And stuff will probably be on the App Store. I don't know. Because like, it's so hard to hit, like we don't want it to be the 24th and the shit to not be on the App Store. So there's a good chance that it'll probably pop up sometime on Thursday-ish, maybe.
Well, you're also soft launching a few big places, too.
Yeah, like Australia and New Zealand. And
yeah, so there's some people that can just get all the legit stuff right now.
Yeah, yeah. That's been kind of nice because like we've actually had some like really last minute kind of like design changes to kind of like how like the restore purchases flow works and stuff like that, because we were getting like bombarded with 1-star reviews from people that were like, WTF, I bought this game 10 years ago and I saw there's an update for it and it wants me to pay for it.
Which, yeah, I think you're gonna get that.
Yeah, regardless. We're just trying to make it as like easy as possible for people to understand what's happening. And yeah, I don't know, like we'll see. I hope that's,
I think you guys have done everything you can to do everything the right way, and no matter what, there's going to be people that are like, oh, this is, you know, whatever. But you know, like, you've been extremely transparent and tried to do things the right way and try to do previous owners the right way and stuff like that as much as possible. So I feel like there's not much more you can do, and you just have to deal with the idiots.
I mean, it's been nice, like everyone that's been mad, like when we email or contact them back and like, oh no dude, it's just misunderstanding, like here's how you do it, they're like, oh shit, okay, cool, awesome, great, this is awesome, thanks so much, like this is really,
you would
neat.
Like, yeah, I think that's just the internet in a nutshell, right? Yeah. There is extreme knee-jerk reactions with anger and hostility,
yeah,
and then once you can kind of calm down or get the more facts, you kind of are like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, because like, so the way it worked before we changed it, and it might actually still be like, I don't know if the updates got approved yet or not, but it might be by the time people are listening to this, is like, in order to restore your purchases, you had to like click through like a couple things that like told you what Game Club was, which is, and then after that, it was like, oh, I already bought this game, as a button. And like, what was happening is people would just like see the first screen and be like, what on earth is this bullshit, and leave us like 1-star reviews and stuff like that. It's just like, I don't know, it's the internet, you know, so I'm not surprised, but it's just like always one of these things where it's like, dude, if you would have spent like 5 more seconds, which, you know, is a failure on, like, to be fair, it's a failure on our part to have like a flow that's confusing, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know, it's just amazing how angry people get about things.
It's hard to ask the world at large to do even the simplest of things. And that's been true always, where it's like, well, I put in the very top of the app description this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, nobody reads that. Nobody cares. Nobody looks at the price, and then they get mad that it costs so much when they download it or whatever.
I mean, like, I don't know. Like, maybe I'm just an easygoing person or kind of lazy or whatever. But like, when I download a game or something that like just doesn't work or isn't what I expected, I'm just like, all right, well, delete it. You know, whatever. I got better things to do.
Yeah, or it'll get fixed, or, you know, whatever.
I mean, because it's, like, effort to go to the app store, like, look up an app and read a review. I mean, that's, like, a significant, like, it's not an insignificant time commitment to do that, you know? And, like, particularly for something you got for free. Like, I just, like, I don't know. It's, yeah, right. I don't know. It's the internet, whatever, 2019. Love it or leave it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, this is exciting. So Game Club officially launching next week. And so I imagine the next week's show will have quite a bit to talk about, if you can even escape to do a show next week.
Oh, no. Yeah, we will. We will for sure. I think,
or if you're going to be,
I don't know. Like, that's what's so weird about being on the verge of a launch like this, is like, you really don't know like what to expect. I mean, like, like for me, I would call our launch a massive success if people are just happy with what we're doing. Like, even if that's a small amount of people, if everyone's just like, dude, this is really cool, and like, I really like this, and I'm happy to try it out, and I'm glad somebody's doing this, like, that would be great.
Yeah.
But like, you just don't know, like, if Apple's going to feature a bunch of our games, and like, suddenly we are dealing with like thousands of incoming like support requests or like everything else. So we'll see.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to watch from the sidelines.
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, like, I hope that people are receptive to kind of like a third party alternative to Apple Arcade.
Yeah.
Cause I don't know, like, I think there's, you know, both things are going to be cheap enough that you can subscribe to both. Like, if you're curious,
It's pretty ridiculous. I mean, I like that you guys both have, at least for now, you know, you both have different sort of, goals in mind, where you're kind of bringing back older games that were lost, they're all about new games. I know you guys eventually would like to publish new games and stuff like that, but yeah. Like for now, you're kind of covering two different audiences and serving two different audiences. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like when I think about how much money I spend on games on mobile each month, like $10 for like well over 100 games combined for both services, like is bananas to me. So
yeah, new stuff out all the time and stuff. And like we're like, so phase, like, I don't know, like 1.5 of Game Club Order, which we're kind of starting right now, is like, you remember on Touch Arcade how it was like there was a lot of games that were coming out, like Bad North is a good example of this, where it was like it started on the forums as a mobile game and everything else, yeah, and a lot of interest, everything else, then the developer just kind of stopped posting, and then the game pops up a year later like as a Switch game.
Yeah,
like what I've been doing is kind of like going after a lot of those games that the developers just kind of made a decision of like, I can't make money on this releasing on the App Store as a paid game. Like, it's just not going to happen. And with Apple Arcade, like they're only going after like brand new exclusive stuff, which leaves this like massive, massive pool of all these games that would have been and were originally designed to be really good mobile games.
Yeah.
That are now just kind of like lost to the eShop and stuff like that, because the developers very understandably don't want to like put the time into bringing their game over. So
yeah,
so we'll see.
That would be nice too. I think one good example of that is a game called Savior, which, so like they released a trailer for it like maybe a couple months ago with like a I don't know, It basically like set the internet ablaze because it's this pixel art platformer with like the most incredible animations or whatever. And so everyone was just losing their shit over this brand new game called Savior. Mm-hmm. And so I looked at the trailer and I was like, I recognize that. Like, why do I recognize that? And I started poking around. And what happened was it was originally a mobile game called Into the Rift that we had posted about several times. And they announced it back in 2016 and it was a mobile game. And then everything eventually kind of went dark about the mobile version or whatever, and it resurfaces as this game called Savior, and it's got a Kickstarter and all this stuff,
which was
massively successful, by the way, because everyone lost their shit over the trailer. But it just sort of is like, oh man, like, dude, this I still want this game on mobile. Like, please talk about the mobile version, you know? Stuff like that happens all the time.
I mean, and that's been, so there, that's kind of like a bunch of the stuff that I'm working on now is kind of like identifying those games and bringing them over, and because I don't know,
I think there's a good amount of them.
Yeah, so that should
make a lot of people happy too, because there's a lot of people that follow this stuff and they're like, oh, this game's coming to mobile, I'm so psyched, and then two years later they're like, what the hell happened? And the dev is like, look, this can't make it happen. So it'd be cool to rectify some of those situations.
Yeah, and just to be clear, I just gave Bad North as an example. I haven't, like, that's not one of the titles we're actively working on or anything. So,
well, Bad North will launch this week, so hey,
there you go.
amazingly enough, it did come out on mobile.
Yeah, after all. So yeah, I guess like that Game Club, keep your eyes peeled for more stuff next week. All that stuff, I really appreciate it. If anyone can tell their friends, retweet, you know, leave us nice reviews on the App Store, all that fun stuff.
All that fun stuff.
But yeah, so
let's... So shilling aside, let's move on to some of the stories. I actually dug into last week, too, just in case there was anything crazy that we missed because we missed a show. One of the big announcements was that Crossy Road Castle is coming to Apple Arcade. It's a new Crossy Road game from Hipster Whale. And it's quite a bit different than a normal Crossy Road game. It's like a side-scrolling platformer that they Crossy Roadified with randomly generated levels and things like that. And it's also built around multiplayer. It's not strictly multiplayer or anything like that, but it's kind of interesting. The game will adjust itself based on how many people are playing. So, for instance, if you're playing solo, you'll only get a certain type of randomly generated room that you can definitely complete with just one player. But when you have one to four players playing, if you have more than one, it'll actually throw rooms at you, some of which are designed for like multiple people to have to cooperate to complete them. Hmm. And I thought that was kind of an interesting idea. So they're definitely encouraging like, you know, couch co-op style and stuff. So
yeah, this is cool. I mean, like I don't know. I've been waiting for these guys to release something new for the longest time.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird when you it's almost like when people hit it big with something, it's almost like winning the lotto or something like that. It's like do you lose your drive or do you lose like your direction of where you want to go? Because sometimes that scraping and struggling and, you know, trying to make things work is what gets you to where you want to be. That's your drive, you know what I mean? So when you kind of like hit the lotto and release Across the Road, which is like a phenomenon, massively, you know, earning game or whatever, that's like a life changer for you. But does that like change things to where you're like not as hungry to want to go out and create new games anymore or anything like that,
Well,
or?
I mean, I don't know if it's as much to do. I mean, I'm sure for some developers, I'm sure it is that, but like there's also the whole aspect of like developers know that they won the lottery, and it's like if you like won like bought a lottery ticket today and won Mega Millions. The first thing you do when you get your money wouldn't be buy another lottery ticket, you know? And that's kind of the
I
challenge
don't know,
because,
maybe.
I mean, how many developers have we seen that had like one mega hit, and instead of like really investing in that game and keeping players happy and like new people coming in, they are like, oh, cool, well, let's do like a really big budget game that I'm sure will do better. You know, that's been like a really common thing on the App Store. And presumably other platforms too. I don't know if I follow the App Store closest, obviously,
Well,
but
it's
like.
also not fair because Crusty Road has just been infinitely updated over the years with new content and stuff like that. It seems like they're always working on some sort of new cool thing for it. So, you know, that takes time and effort too. So it's not like they're not sitting around doing nothing. But yeah, a new game from these guys has definitely been something I'd wondering what form that would take and if it would be Crusty Road related or not. And so here we go. It's Crusty Road Castle. There's no release date, but it'll come to Apple Arcade. And it's a platformer that looks pretty cool.
You know what I think would be really cool with this game, and I don't know if this is the case or not, and this is going to be my comment for the League of Legends story we have coming up later to talk about, is like I think it would be really cool if in stuff like this, like your unlocks are like constant across like the whole game universe. You know, like imagine if you were like a hardcore Crossy Road player and you had like a bunch of stuff unlocked, and you could then play with those same characters in Crossy Road Castle. And like the stuff you unlock in Crossy Road Castle, you like has the opposite effect
I would
in
love
actual
that
Crossy
too,
Road. Like that would be really cool. I don't know if it were, that would be neat if it worked like that, but I kind of doubt it. But
I don't think it does, but I do agree it would be neat.
yeah, because then
And I think it's possible.
because like it seems like such a cool thing that because then you could kind of like just have like a bunch of like just a shitload of unlockables across like your entire like game universe. And maybe certain characters do different things in different games, and that would just be kind of neat, you know, almost like our barcode battler thing we talked about, where it's like, oh shit, I unlocked this guy in Crossy Road. Like, let me see what he does in Crossy Road Castle. Like that. That's.
I mean, I can't think of a better reason to get people to be invested in multiple games of yours.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But yeah,
Free
that's.
advice for you, hipster whale,
So that's
which
just.
I'm sure you're looking for.
I was just teased on Twitter, right, with the trailer. Like, it's not. No, kind of like upcoming date or anything like
No
that.
release date that I've
Yeah.
seen, no.
Yeah.
And with Apple Arcade, it's kind of weird. We don't know any of release dates for any games. They just pop up.
Yeah, it's.
The last few weeks, they've released a batch of new games on every, I guess, Friday. And this week, they released another four new games, kind of out of the blue.
Yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah.
This made me really happy. So Ticket to Earth is a game that came out in, I want to say, like
A long time ago.
2016,
Yeah.
2015, and was a really, really clever take on like a turn-based strategy game, but interwoven with match three mechanics, and not quite match three, but more like the drag to match, like dungeon raid mechanics.
Yeah.
And so it was really clever because, you know, a turn-based strategy game generally grid-based or whatever. And so in this case, it was grid-based, but all the grids had different color blocks, and you would drag and make matches in order to do different actions. And it just worked really, really well. And it was kind of like one of those things that you tried it and you were like, damn, why didn't anybody think of this mashup before? Like, it worked so well together. The only problem with Ticket to Earth was that it released episodically. And so the first episode came out, it was pretty short, and it ended on a real big cliffhanger, which pissed a lot of people off when they got to the end. And they were like, what the fuck? So there was episode two was like well underway by the time this game launched initially. And so episode two came not too long after. But then episode 3 was like a year later, and then episode 4, which is the fourth and final episode, just launched last week, and that was over a year it took to come out. So if you were patient, yeah. or if you were waiting, some people won't buy episodic stuff until all the episodes are released, and if you're that person, go get Ticket to Earth now, because it's super duper good.
Is this one of those things where like the mobile version was just like really late, or is it also this way on like Steam and stuff? Do you know?
I don't know. I've never even thought about the other versions of this game.
Because that seems to be what like really annoys people, when it's like, dude, the content update for this came out on PC like 3 years ago. What are you doing?
Yeah, I actually want to say that no, I think all the episodes were like the same across platforms or whatever.
Interesting.
It's not compatible with Matt Catalina on Steam. I know that much.
Did you upgrade to Catalina?
Yeah.
No?
I'm waiting. It doesn't. I can't even tell that it has what episodes it has on the Steam version, but we don't care about Steam. We'll talk about the mobile version, which is now complete and is awesome.
Dude, Catalina is kind of bonkers. Like it. So they added the ability to use your iPad as a secondary display, which is like crazy useful. And I know there's been like apps that do that, but it's just like crazy seamless when you have the two devices just like next to each other, and it like somehow knows, and just like you can just like hit a button on like the maximize window, and it just like pops up on your iPad. Like, it's fucking crazy.
That's super cool. Yeah, it's a really nice feature that I know everyone kind of was like, oh, you're Sherlocking the whatever app that was that did that already. But I don't know. Sometimes when things are just built in like that, it's still a better experience.
Yeah, so. I mean, because like, I think it's Duet was the app, I think it was called. And it like, I used that before and it was cool, but it was always like setting it up like just took like 10 seconds too long to, I don't know. It's like such a dumb complaint, right? Because like, it's not like, it's not like it's any that much more complicated, but like the ability to just have it all baked in where you just like, oh, maximize my iPad is so freaking nice. It's unbelievable.
So it's funny because those people that make that app actually came out with a big new feature for it where you can use a second Mac as a secondary screen, which actually differentiates themselves from Apple's feature. So I thought that was kind of a clever way.
That's weird, though. Apple's pitch, much like Duet's original pitch, was like, oh, that iPad you have sitting on your desk, now you can use it for like, you know, your Twitter on your desktop and stuff like that. But like, who's the person that's like, God, if only I could do something with all these MacBooks I have on my desk, you know, like
a row of MacBooks in front of you and be like, yes, this is what I want.
Finally, I can have a 3-display MacBook array.
I can see if you had like a MacBook and an iMac on your desktop or something like that, and maybe sometimes wanted to use them both together or something like that. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of a wacky feature, but I don't know.
It's like such an edge case. Like, I don't know. Like, but it's one of those edge cases though, where I'm sure like the people that are in that situation are like losing their mind over that functionality.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But anyway, Ticket to Earth, really cool developers, cool game. I'm like a couple episodes behind, I think, on this. I don't even know if I played the third one.
I'm going to start it from the beginning now that it's all complete and just look through it, but such a good game. Go really buy it. Sale. I think it's normally $5 and it's like $3 right now or something like that.
Does that include all the episodes? The episodes in it purchase,
they're all released as free updates, so I don't think there's $3.99, and I think it's normally $5.99 or $6.99, so
that's a
whatever
steal.
You pay for it, it is worth it.
Yeah, that's a steal. All right, well,
this was I guess 2 weeks ago now, but Jagex.
I always said Jagex, but I don't know if that's Jagex, right. I don't know.
Held their annual RuneFest event, which you actually got to go to last year.
Did they invite you to that?
Yeah, they invited me. It was gonna be too hard to make it happen
with the baby
flight
and stuff.
London, with kid and Pam's work and all this stuff. It really, I told them, I was like, hit me up next year because I definitely want to go to one of these.
Yeah, it was super fucking cool last year.
Yeah, I remember you loved it, but and I think all the RuneScape stuff is super fascinating too. I think it'd be fun to be just in the mix of nothing but RuneFest fans.
Yeah, it was but, really cool.
Yeah, this year it was just a little too, timing was just bad. But so anyway, they had their RuneFest, but I couldn't go, but I was like, holler at me with all the details of what you guys announced and stuff. So they actually announced quite a bit. They announced that the big thing was that RuneScape Mobile is going to be in early access before the end of the year. And that is basically the mobile version of their full-fat RuneScape MMORPG. And it's pretty cool. It's going to be pretty seamless as far as like progress and stuff like that. So you can play on desktop, do a bunch of stuff, and then pick up the mobile version right where you left off.
Yeah. This to me, like, cool. That feels like the future, man. Like, that is so freaking cool. Like, they, so I think last year they had both versions playable. It was like RuneScape Mobile was like very obviously like ultra, ultra beta, but it worked, you know, and it was really cool to see it. Cause like, yeah, you can like be playing this on your PC, log out, open up your phone, like while you're waiting for the bus and like keep playing. Your same character, same server, like same abilities, everything, which is.
Yeah, I agree that I think that should be the future and that it will be the future where, you know, the device you're playing on is just irrelevant to whatever game.
Yeah.
And
because like people are playing WoW Classic using the different like remote desktop stuff. Because there's I don't remember which app it was that people are using. I don't even know if it's on iOS. It might be an Android thing, but like. It was had like a companion app on your PC, and then on the actual mobile app, you can like map virtual controls to like different keys and stuff. Right. And on the WoW Classic subreddit, there were a couple of people that like shared their UI, and it was like a complete fucking mess. You know, a lot like the button explosion of RuneScape Mobile, but like people are like, dude, I'm playing I'm at work and I'm playing WoW on my phone. Like, this is fucking awesome, and I'll put up with whatever control scheme I need to in order to do that.
I also think like games like this or MMORPGs in general, like it can be a button explosion. Like, it doesn't necessarily matter because you're not like trying to push like 10 buttons at once or anything like that. You know, it's like, I think it lends itself well to this sort of UI touch.
Yeah, particularly. So it
doesn't matter. And there's no reason you shouldn't be able to play WoW Classic on an iPad, you know?
Because like a lot of MMOs just have a lot of like busy work you do, like, you know, like crafting and material gathering and stuff like that do not require like fast reaction times or anything like that, you know.
I mean, like, if you're gonna go into a big battle or something like that, you'd be like, well, I'll wait till I get home and I have you know, my prop whatever, but there should be no reason that you can't, especially something that's like a virtual life, like an MMORPG, where it's like, man, if you want to dick around with it on your phone, you should be able to.
So what I wonder with this, and do you know, they tell you this, like, does it flag you as a mobile player so other people know that you're on your phone?
I don't think it mentioned anything about that.
Because, like, I feel like you should, they should, like, if WoW had a mobile client and, like, someone joined my group, I would want to know that they were on the phone.
Yeah.
Because you can just
would that make you a target, though? Would it be like, let's go mess with these mobile players? We'll kill them.
No, I'm just saying, like, your same faction. Like, if I was, like, running a dungeon and someone joined my group, like, I should know that they're on their phone and be like, dude, let's not do this kind of thing.
They could do something, too, that's, like, similar to what, God, what game? Is it PUBG or Fortnite that does this? That was, like, a mobile specific queue, but then if you wanted to be in the general queue with everybody else, you could be. You just had to decide to do that.
Yeah.
So that if you did want to do a raid, you'd want to make sure everyone's on mobile. There was like specific queues for that or whatever.
Right.
So that you're all forced to deal with the limitations.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't know. Like, I guess if like someone's a really, really good mobile, I mean, like, maybe what if you only ever played RuneScape on your phone and you're just as proficient as someone on the keyboard?
I see like people that play like PUBG Mobile and stuff like that, and they're better than people that play first-person shooters on like console and PC.
Yeah, I saw a video on Twitter, I think, of like some kid playing Fortnite on his iPad, and I'm like, this fucking kid is playing Fortnite better than me. I can play on my PC using touchscreen controls.
Never underestimate the power of a kid to spend a million hours getting super good at something crazy like that.
Yeah, but no, so like, yeah, this RuneScape Mobile, like, this is so fucking cool. Like, this is a real deal MMO, and like if you were the kind of person that was like, oh, you know, RuneScape, like old school RuneScape, like, that's cool and I like the idea that you can play wherever, but like, this game is just like too old and like it's too hardcore for me. This is your shit right here. Like, this is gonna be really cool.
So yeah, the early access will be launching something this year. And then, of course, old school RuneScape got some love, too. It's getting a big new expansion and stuff like that. So if you're into that game, you can look forward to that. But more than anything, I'm just excited to see the full-blown RuneScape in mobile form and see how that turns.
Yeah, dude, man, if you go to RuneFest next year, like, I would almost just, like, buy a plane ticket to tag along.
Dude, let's do it.
Because it was
a road trip out of it.
It was so fucking cool. Like, that's me saying that as someone that like only was casually interested in RuneScape, that really never played the game very much at all. It was just like really awesome to be there. And I think
it's hard not to get sucked into fandom where the fans are so like into the thing that they're there for, and there's not like a lot of like, you know, it's a welcoming fandom where it's not like, oh, you don't know this about this, then you suck. It's like, oh no, let's learn together.
Yeah.
You know, let me teach you things that you don't know. Well, because everybody wants the game to succeed and they want to help other people become, you know, new at it or whatever.
Yeah. And they had just a lot of like really like fun events that like you could appreciate, like even if you didn't really know the game, like a cosplay contest and like other similar stuff like that. They're just kind of like fun to watch. And
I was sad not to go, but hopefully maybe next year we'll...
Yeah, I mean, I guess having a 6-month-old baby is a decent excuse, but only for this year.
So this was a cool announcement. Tesla Force is actually a new spin-off game from 10 Tons. It's a spin-off of their Tesla versus Lovecraft game, which is probably my favorite game from them.
I always get 10 Tons mixed up with 10 Birds.
10 Birds. I haven't thought about that name in a long time.
Yeah, they made that Dark Souls-y game that I don't remember the title of right now.
Oh, yeah.
It'll drive me crazy until I look it up.
I'm
going to look it up.
Okay. So Tesla versus Lovecraft was kind of a silly game they released on desktop a couple years ago where you play as Nikola Tesla fighting against Lovecraft's crazy, horrific, you know, creatures or whatever. Which was just a really silly premise for a game, but like it also gave you the excuse to use a bunch of cool electricity-based inventions as weaponry.
Yeah, that was really cool. Done.
Probably the best part about this game is all the different gadgets and weapons that you get to use. But it's also just a really solid dual-stick shooter, just really good graphics, and it's kind of like a single-player campaign-based, you know, linear experience. Well, Tesla Force is going to be sort of the same thing, but randomly generated. So it's sort of more of like a more traditional kind of endless dual stick shooter where you're trying to just survive as long as you can. And you'll be able to play as Tesla like normal, but also as Marie Curie, Mary Shelley, and also H.P. Lovecraft himself. So there'll be four playable characters.
Cool. I love the universe building they do where it's like turning like these old science people into like superheroes, basically. It's just the fucking coolest thing.
Seriously, I love it. And obviously there will be tons of crazy weapons and gadgets for all of them, all geared around their specific, you know, field of interest or whatever. And I'm sure new enemies and things like that. So Tesla Force is going to be a really cool game. They have not specifically announced platforms, but I would be shocked if it didn't end up on mobile at some point. It might take, you know, 8 or 9 months, but they've released basically all their games on mobile.
Yeah.
After releasing them on desktop and consoles and stuff like that. So the Steam release is going to be February of next year. My guess would be by this time next year, we'll be playing it on mobile. I'm throwing that out there.
So the 10 Birds games I'm thinking of is the Animus series. So there's Animus Standalone, Animus Harbinger, and also Ire Blood Memory, which is free to play or with unlock. I don't remember.
All those games are rad. Those are the very Dark Souls-esque games.
Yeah, really cool games.
10 Birds, good memory. I think of 10 Tons first, but that's just me.
10 whatevers.
So this is cool. I'd never heard of this game. It's called The Swords of Ditto, and it's on PC and consoles. And Devolver Digital is going to be bringing it to mobile. I don't know why I've never heard of this game. It looks awesome. It looks totally right up my alley. It's kind of a Zelda-esque action adventure game with a really cool art style. Steven Universe-y, maybe? Kind of hard to define, but it's got a really cool cartoony art style. It's really colorful. If you have not yet, you should watch the Swords of Ditto trailer. We have it embedded in our story on Tetracade. But this is what really sold me on it, was just watching the trailer. The
art style looks cool.
Yeah, the game just never rang a bell to me, even when it was out on PC and consoles or anything like that. Usually I feel like I've heard of most games, but this one just never heard of it. So
the cell shading and the art almost kind of like seems like Rick and Morty-ish in a way.
A little bit, yeah. It's got like a Cartoon Network look for sure.
Yeah.
But it looks rad, and it looks like the trailers for the Steam and console version, it looks like it's built a lot around co-op play. I don't know if that'll be something that's in the mobile version or not, but I don't care. I don't have any friends. I don't play any games with anybody, so whatever. I'm just happy to have like a action RPG of this style is totally up my alley. So
yeah, this is cool. I mean,
it is.
Devolver doesn't release bad games, so
no kidding.
There's that.
So this is set to launch next week on October 24th. I hear something else is launching that day. Ooh. And it's going to be, oh, well, this is not the English price. I think it's $4.99. Let me see. This is some other country's $5.99. You can pre-order it now. And yeah, this is probably the game I'm most excited for next week. Next week's actually a bunch of stuff is launching. So you're going to have some competition there, Game Club.
Yeah.
But
that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
I welcome Devolver Digital to release cool stuff that I'm going to play.
Bring it on, Devolver. So yeah, Swords of Ditto, excited about it. This is a funny story I just wanted to mention because I feel like for years and years we've talked about Golden Tee being.
Well, I was going to ask you, like, did you email the guy back? Remember the guy that would email us or tweet at us like once a month almost for like years? Yeah. It seemed like asking like. Hey, you know, you previewed Golden Tee Mobile at GDC in like 2015. Have you heard anything new about it?
Yeah.
And you're always like, dude, no. Like, I will let you know. Like, there will be a post on Touch Arcade when we know anything.
Get back to him and let him know that this is a thing that's happening. But yeah, it's funny. We saw a demo of a mobile version, and you think of something like Golden Tee, which is surprisingly one of the arcade games that's had the longest life in this era. Yeah. Post-arcade era,
I mean,
right?
Dude, like, Golden Tee is, like, the microtransaction game. Like, before mobile free-to-play even became a thing, like, right. I cannot fucking believe how much money my friends spend playing Golden Tee.
Oh, it's a lifestyle.
Which
like,
is crazy.
It's crazy how many people are into Golden Tee and how many tournaments there are and how many groups are that get together and play. And it's very,
it's
very highly competitive.
Insane.
And,
like, friends of mine.
It's kind
of
awesome.
That have like high-end gaming PCs, like every fucking game console on the planet and stuff like that, will still at Buffalo Wild Wings dump like $25 into Golden Tee.
Yeah, no, it's a crazy thing. People are fanatical about it, so it's puzzling. It's taken this long to release a mobile version, and like we mentioned, we saw one at like GDC 2015 or 2014, many years ago. We played a version that seemed like it was pretty finished, but it never came out.
Fine. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even know if this is that same version or not, because it definitely looks different. But yeah, finally launching iOS and Android on October 28th, and it's soft launched in a few territories right now. One of them is New Zealand, so I actually downloaded it and tried it out. And
does it link up with like your Golden Tee account?
You can sign in with a Golden Tee account, but I didn't have one.
I wonder if that does anything. One.
But I don't know if it does anything for you. I feel like it should, though. They're stupid if it doesn't.
Dude, if it doesn't link up and, like, the progress isn't somehow linked between both games and you can't spend money on the mobile version that impacts the arcade version, like, they're leaving a fucking Scrooge McDuck money bin on the table.
I agree with you. And, yeah, I played through it. It's, like, I mean, it's free to play out like you wouldn't believe.
So is Golden Tee, though. Golden Tee is insane.
It's not, not surprising at all. And, like, mechanically... It's fine. I don't know. You swipe on the screen like you did in the old Tiger Woods mobile games. And
that's cool.
It's okay.
I don't know. Okay. I like, I mean, Golden Tee's a lot of fun to put like a dollar in and play it once.
Well, the thing with me is like the novelty is the trackball, right?
Yeah.
And getting that crazy, you know,
yeah, like
huge
the people
shot.
That like do the fucking like massive wind up and.
Yeah. So, you know, not losing that and replacing it with a touchscreen with no. Tactile anything is different. It could not be a Golden Tee game, and it would just be your average mobile free to play golf game. Yeah. But I think the cool thing about this is that if you are super into Golden Tee in the arcades, it's going to have the same like courses and stuff like that. So it'll be fun to play through the same holes that you play through in the arcade. I would say
probably similar physics too. I would imagine, right?
Yeah, and all the crazy power ups that make you like drain a putt and stuff like that. But I agree with you. If there's no sort of like cross-platform unlock stuff or whatever own it.
That it would be impossible for me to believe that would be the case.
I don't know, man.
They have the whole system built. Like, I think you even get like a, like if you want to buy one, you can get like actual like member card that you like swipe into the machine to like pull up your account and stuff. And
I believe it.
I don't
I believe
know
it.
that.
There's a arcade one up of Golden Tee, which I thought would be kind of fun to grab because it has the little trackball and stuff like that.
Oh, that
But
would be cool.
the quality of those things, I'm like, is this trackball going to just fall apart in 2 months or whatever?
It's
So
not
I don't
made for the 300-pound drunk guy wind up
Yeah, like running
drive.
across the room to get a running set start. No, I'll leave those to the arcade versions. So this was good news. We've talked about it on a podcast before. Rusty Lake's new game called The White Door is up for pre-order, and that means it has a release date, and the release date is November 26th on iOS and Android. And it'll be just $2.99.
That's
And
cool.
we've talked about at length before. We love Rusty Lake's games. They've made all the Cube Escape games and the actual Rusty Lake trilogy of games. Super creepy, bizarre, unsettling point-and-click adventure games is how I would describe these. The White Door is kind of a different one though, in that they are, first of all, it's based around a very minor character from one of their previous games. And he's actually the star of this game, which I think is kind of a cool thing to do, especially because the fans of these games are so into all the little details and all the different games. You don't necessarily have to play them all together or anything like that, but they all kind of throw nods at each other. So if you're really super into the lore and you're familiar with all the games and stuff like that, like it's kind of a fun little detail. But the big thing that this game is doing is that it has this sort of like dual view, so the screen is split into two at all times. And as you're playing, you're sort of getting two different viewpoints of whatever's happening. So, like in the example in the trailer, it's like you can be walking around a room from sort of like an isometric or overhead view. But then on the right side of the screen is all the stuff you're doing from like a close-up view or whatever. So, I think that there will be a lot of neat puzzles and stuff like that that play with that sort of split screen jig they got going on.
That's
But
cool.
anyway. Love Everything by Rusty Lake, and so a new game from them. It's been about a year since they released the Cube Escape Paradox, so excited to see them doing a new game.
Yeah,
And
that's neat. I that kind of
yeah,
like that kind of reminds me of like what would make for like a really cool like Nintendo DS game almost, you know?
for sure. Yeah, like two screens and all that stuff. So
Yeah.
looking forward to that next month. This was hold on 1 second.
So next I'll talk while you drink your
Hoo-wee, my
water.
voice is starting to rise.
So next story, Disco Zoo got an update, which is really cool because this is actually a highly requested game in Game Club, which it was kind of weird because it was like all these people are like, I know you guys aren't doing free-to-play stuff, but like I don't really care. I just want to play like Disco Zoo more. Like, can you do something about that? And so it's neat. Like for the first time in 3 years, they've updated the game. So it basically just like works on. I don't think the game ever broke, but it just kind of like sucked on modern devices, right?
It did not have full screen and all that good stuff that is a huge turnoff to me nowadays because I'm just a full screen snob. But
I mean, it's
so
like playing non-retina stuff once the iPhone 4 came out. Like it works, but it's just like this just sucks compared to. You know.
I have so many games that do support full screen. I'd rather go enjoy those than,
Yeah.
play something that feels outdated. So, but yeah, so it's got full screen support, and I assume full screen iPad Pro support and stuff like that. And then, funny enough, so when this game came out in 2014, I think you probably remember, I was heavily obsessed with it, where I beat everything. Like
Yeah,
I
it's cool.
unlocked everything, I got every little thing you could do, blah 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 blah. I 100% at Disco Zoo, proud to say. And so, it was funny because then, once you did it all, it was kind of like, well. Okay, and it stuck around on my device for a while, but at one point I was like, I'm not ever gonna go back to this again and like redo that or anything like that. So,
Yeah, I was actually sort of surprised that they didn't like keep adding new content because it seemed to me like this game was easily built around the idea of like, oh, here's a new pen type and like here's
I
six new
think they
animals
got
or
super overwhelmed with working on their racing game. What was it called?
God, it's not Touch Grind, it's Grind something, right? Like
Future
Future Grind. Yeah, there you
Grind,
go.
which is an awesome game, by the way, but it did take them a very long time to finish and release it. But it's funny. So this update today or this week, includes a cloud save system, and I'd already deleted the game with all my progress on it or whatever. So I was like, well, that doesn't do me a whole lot of good now. But I guess in the future, I have started to play through it again and kind of been rediscovering it. And I think enough time has passed that it's actually interesting and fun again to go through it from the beginning. Yeah. So that's cool. And then you
You should just DM Owen on Twitter and be like, hey, I 100%ed the game before. Can you just like set that up on my cloud unlock save stuff. And no, I'll start with the new stuff?
Yeah, it's like a rediscovery for me, so it's good. But they did also squeeze in some actual new content in this update, too. So it has a new area for you to go to and a time machine. Because you'll remember in the game, there's like all these different modes of transportation. Well, now one of them is a time machine, and you get to collect timeless, what they're calling timeless animals, which is like, I think just very regular animals, like a chicken and stuff. So it's kind of funny. But yeah, big news is Disco Zoo, first update in a long time, now works on modern devices, has a little bit of new content, has a new cloud saving feature, and it's fun. I think everyone should check this out if they haven't already.
Yeah, or I mean, it was always a really good game. I almost wonder if the game like could have done way better if it was like more of a free-to-play game.
I think so, yeah.
Because this game was like...
there was more reason to buy stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, that was all, like, it was almost like too friendly to a fault. Like, there was... like, basically the only reason to buy anything in this game is if you just wanted to, like, blast through it in 3 days and, like, just not have fun.
That's almost the nimble bit way.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I agree. There's not a ton of reason to force yourself to buy money or spend money in this game. So.
But definitely check out Disco Zoo. It's like a really good example of like when indies tried to do free to play and were just like way too player friendly, unfortunately, for like the economy of the App Store, which as a player of the game is really good, but like as a developer trying to make a business out of it, not so amazing. Yeah. So, but you can reap the benefits of that now. So.
I also liked it, too, because it's an idle game that's more than just, like, very basic, like, clicker progression. Mm-hmm. There's some very mild puzzling and stuff like that, but it's also kind of like a very light simulator, and I thought that made it more fun than your average, you know, clicker game that just gets you addicted to making progress fill up or whatever. So.
Yeah, really, really, really good game. And I seem to remember they gave you, like, the premium currency at, like, a weirdly good clip, too.
Yeah, game. I can't say for sure if I ever bought anything in that game, and I think if I did, it was only because I felt bad.
I mean, that's a good example of like how the economy was like so generous, and that like if you 100%ed the game without like ever needing to buy anything, like I guess it's really good, but at the same time, like really bad. You know,
I'm sure it took. Yeah, I think it took a year. It took a long time to actually do it.
But still, if you would have spent like $200 on it or whatever and just unlocked everything in a day, like there would be no reason to play the game. Like that was
no, it would have ruined the fun. For sure.
So I don't know.
Moving on, Philip Stollemeyer, who also goes by the name CammyBox and is responsible for tons of amazing games, including Bacon the Game.
Lots of our favorites.
Bacon the Game and Pancake the Game and Burger the Game.
Yeah, but also Seesaw and what was the one where you flipped the... was it Pancake the Game where you flipped the pancake on the different puzzles? Like, what am I...
That's Bacon the Game. Is the one where you flick bacon onto stuff. Yeah, I like it too. But then, so those are kind of his silly games, but then he's made like these super high quality like puzzle games too and platformers and stuff like that. Like Seesaw is probably one of my favorite platforming games because... it's so interesting. It's built entirely around just being able to run left and right. You can't jump, but you need to jump in the game. So it's actually you getting momentum and like letting your like movement and inertia like propel you across the level and stuff like that. Like it's just so clever. But anyway, he's announced his new game. It's called Song of Bloom, and I don't even know where to start describing what this game is. It's a puzzle game, a narrative puzzle game. You're going to be solving different scenes and different puzzles, and there's a story tying everything together. But it's also it's meant to be mimic the experience of somebody that's hallucinating. And I feel if you watch the trailer, that totally comes through because what happened is he created 18 different art styles and. The game will switch art styles kind of like erratically and crazily.
Oh, kind of like a Pix and Love Rush kind of thing, almost.
A little bit. Yeah. But it's also interesting that of those 18 art styles, a lot of them are like actual handcrafted stuff. So he like knitted some levels and, you know, sculpted things out of clay, carved things out of wood, like actually built these physical things to add to the different art styles that he did in the game, not just, you know, stuff that he did on a computer or whatever. I think that's really fascinating that, like, you know.
What I would love to see, if there was like, you know, like Supreme does all sorts of dumbass crossovers. I would love to see like a Philip Stollmeyer crossover with Michael Brogue.
Yeah, no kidding.
That would be off the chain. That would be like the game that they would make would like break the planet in two. Right. It would be so fucking crazy.
Yeah, that's why they haven't collaborated before.
I guess. It'd be like a Thanos snap of game development.
But so Song of Bloom, unfortunately there's no release date or anything like that, but it looks crazy, and you should definitely watch the trailer to get my poor description of what it is not doing anybody any good, but if you watch the trailer I think it'll make a lot more sense. And I think it's cool that he's doing such a I don't know, kind of a heavy, more serious kind of artsy fartsy game like this. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. Final thing I had to talk about this week was just an explosion of news from Riot Games.
As someone that fucking loves League of Legends, this was like the coolest story of the week. Because like, so I don't know, like I'm one of those weirdos that kind of like keeps an eye on like LinkedIn and stuff like that. And because you can kind of like, you know, like MacRumors does this a lot where they're like, oh, Apple hired, you know, like a mapping expert. That's interesting. Like all this kind of stuff, you know, and like, I have a lot of friends at Riot, so I just kind of like out of, you know, weird social media creeper curiosity, I kind of keep an eye on that. And like, they have like been hiring people like fucking crazy over the last few years. And it's like, and League of Legends is not like, is really like, I mean, they add new content to it all the time. It's like that cadence has remained largely the same. And it's not like they're doing like that much different stuff in esports. I mean, like League of Legends is very much just like its own beast that just like, Riot just kind of like pushes in the appropriate direction and like the massive fan base kind of just like take care of the rest. Right.
Right.
And it like never made sense to me how it was like, it felt like Riot like doubled their headcount and League of Legends like didn't change.
Yeah.
So I was like, I agree. I'm sure there's something like just wacky or weird or something going on there. And for the longest time I was like, they're going to do a bona fide like League of Legends for mobile. And that's what they're going to release in like Asia. Cause they had that like really weird, sort of like Honor of Kings and Arena of Valor was like League of Legends, but not. It was like like a weird.
So similar, it was kind of like creepy.
Yeah, it was like a weird knockoff, but I guess like not really because like they're like the same companies in cahoots with both games. And it was just like, I don't know, this really awkward thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I bet all these people are making like a real deal, like one-to-one, like mobile League of Legends. It sounds like that's, at least from a, what they've teased, like that seems like one of the things they're working on, but it's also this like action adventure game and like a card game and their what is it, auto chess is the genre, right?
Yeah.
So that's team fight tactics. It's like and then like also in the trailer there's like a first person shootery looking thing.
Yeah, which is unnamed at this point, but it sounds like they're going for like the Overwatch crowd with that.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was like, because like I don't remember how the announcement was set, but it was like, oh, Riot's announcing something big today or whatever, and I was like, oh, this is going to be a mobile, like the mobile League of Legends or something like that. And instead, it was like, here's like a million things that we've been working on, that all look really cool, and I all like cannot wait to play all of them.
Well, it also, I mean, this almost felt like, are they begrudgingly doing what people have been saying they should have been doing for the last, like, 8 years, when League of Legends was the hottest thing on the planet, and it was like, get that thing on the iPad, you know, do whatever you have to do to get people to be able to play League on their phone and iPad, you're going to be happy you did, and they just didn't do anything about it. So, I mean, is it too little too late, or is it like...
I mean, dude, keep in mind, like... even though like other games have gotten really big and I'm sure, I don't know what the League of Legends player stats look like now, but it's like when people say, oh, Pokemon Go is dead now. It's like, okay, yeah, it went from the biggest fucking game on the planet to a massive fucking game, so that's like the state of League of Legends still. And like, it's interesting because it seems like they're kind of doing what, God, who's the developer of Paladins? Right on Hi-Rez.
Hi-Rez, yeah.
It seems like they're doing what Hi-Rez has been doing, where they're just like rapid fire releasing games that kind of like take place inside of like the Hi-Rez game universe, but maybe don't make a ton of sense as like standalone titles, because like people, I don't really know if people want to play them.
Yeah.
But when you have an exponentially larger audience, you know, like if like 5% of the League of Legends players like get really involved in the card game, that's a
it's a success.
Gigantic fucking card game, you know? Yeah. So
well, I think it's smart. So Teamfight Tactics is sort of this thing that you know, Dota's auto chess sort of sprung organically from somebody's, you know, little game type that they created. And then everyone copied it. Everyone had their own auto chess game and whatever. And Riot was no different. They called theirs Teamfight Tactics, but it takes place within League of Legends. I think it's really smart that they're spinning this off as its own mobile game, just Teamfight Tactics itself. That seems like something that you would have told Riot to do, and like years ago they would have not done it. And you would have been like, this is what you need to do.
Yeah, the auto chess genre is kind of blows my mind, because it like went from something I had like never heard of to there being like six extremely popular versions that all look the same.
I still don't. I don't. That doesn't interest me.
I don't know.
But I do think it's smarter than to spin that off as its own thing. And then the Legends of Runeterra, which is their card game, I think that's probably the right time for that too, because I feel like Hearthstone is kind of floundering right now.
Well, and like the Hearthstone seems to be kind of just doing all right, at least from an outsider perspective. I don't know. I'm sure their numbers are still crazy, but like, and they kind of like had that whole like drama of the last couple of weeks that just like was handled so poorly.
Yeah.
That I think that like a lot of people are looking for just something else to play.
Yeah. Totally.
So like majorly right place, right time with this game and Riot, and just like being very lucky with the drama of the week. And
you know, what bums me out is that, Artifact never did anything good, because remember we had a big huge demo of that at PAX last year or something like that.
Well, and they fucking flew me out to Valve Direct to see the game, you know, like and that never really went anywhere, it seemed like.
I thought it had so much potential, but I thought it was so fucking complicated that they couldn't ever imagine anybody that wasn't like hardcore willing to learn to get into that the way they expected people to get into it. They wanted it to be this whole big league and competitive and blah, 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 blah. And it just wasn't going to happen with how complicated that game was.
It sucks, because like I thought,
but it did a lot of really cool things. So,
well, what I really liked about it was that you owned your cards as like digital assets and could like trade them to other people and even sell them if you wanted to, which I always thought was neat, because like the way all of these card games work, with the exception of like Magic Online, is like your cards are just trapped on your account, and that's they'll always be there. You can never trade, because that's like the social dynamic of trading your cards with people is like such a cool thing about playing Magic. And like it sucks to not have that in these games. And like, I don't know, like the writing was kind of on the wall when they like did the demo for me, and it was like 30 minutes into the game with like the game's producer sitting next to me like explaining what I should be doing, and I was just like, I'm just doing what you're telling me, because like, I have no fucking idea what's going on here. You know,
I was like, just clicking where they told me to click.
Yeah. Which is sucks, because like, even if you've never played a card game before, like, you can hop into Hearthstone and like have a basic understanding of like what you do in the game inside of like 10 minutes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I do wonder if they'll ever, I think they never officially canceled it. They just put it on hiatus or whatever. I wonder if they would just massively rework that thing. Maybe. So I thought it had a lot of potential. But
I mean, the problem is like Valve makes so much money that it's just like, for them, they can just be like, you know, like, we're just never going to do anything. Sorry, we've spent a bunch of money on Artifact, and like, who cares? Like, it doesn't matter.
What's
like,
500 million? Who cares?
Great. But the way that Valve works as a company is like so strange with their like super flat power structure. Like, they could hire like three or four people that decide, like, hey, like, we're going to fix Artifact and release it, and that'll just happen. Like, it's not like, I don't know, it's an interesting way to run a company, I guess. So I don't know, but yeah, all this League of Legends stuff, really cool. And like, much like what I was saying with Crossy Road, like, I my interest in these games will be dependent on how much it ties into League of Legends proper.
Yeah,
because like, I could see myself playing easily 10 times as much League of Legends as I play now if the mobile version of the game has all my unlocks from the desktop version.
Right.
You know, like if it's like a RuneScape mobile sort of situation. Because yes. I've been playing that game for fucking 10 years. I spent a couple $1,000 on it over that course of time and have like an unbelievable amount of stuff unlocked. And like the idea of like rebuying all the stuff that I bought in a different version of a game is just like, it like honestly will make me go from being extremely excited about this to like not caring at all.
Well, it's like putting 100 hours into a game that wipes your progress. And you're like, okay, well, I'm just never going to finish that game because I can't start over.
And I mean, can't like, do that. I can see the logic of like, okay, so you spent a ton of money in League of Legends. Like, that doesn't mean you get anything in the card game because the card game's totally different. Like, I get that. Yeah. But like, if you're going to release like a one-to-one mobile version of a game that has these like free-to-play unlocks, it seems super whack to not treat that as just like one platform.
Well, I wonder how one-to-one is it going to be because it's subtitled differently. I feel like, it's going to be for, it's League of Legends Wild Rift. So, and it's iOS, Android, and consoles. So I feel like if anything, it's probably like a slightly different version of League proper.
Yeah, but even so, it's like one of those things.
But it
like,
still can unlock characters and skins for you, I would say.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I feel like I am probably in the, like, I'm a whale in League of Legends having spent so much money over the last decade of playing this stupid game. But, like, I feel like for a lot of people, like, they would, like, maybe have it on their Switch and be like, oh, I've unlocked, like, 10 dudes now. Yeah. And then, like, the Switch version would be like, hey, this also works on your PC. Have you tried League of Legends kind of thing?
Right.
And then, like, I feel like as a random Switch player, I'd be like, oh, shit, like, I already have a lot of stuff for this game. Like, let me
check it out.
Give this a try that I never would have tried, you know, before.
Yeah.
So,
I agree, we'll but who knows?
Yeah, I'm hoping for the best on that because I really want to play it, and I just do not want to rebuy all the stuff that that I have. So I don't know. Well, I think that's about. What's our exciting conclusion going to be for the week, for the dramatic lead-in into our season finale?
Well, Eli, I got your test results back. And
next
week I'll tell you what they are.
Like, oh God, Jared, are you choking? If only I could help you because I'm so far away. Oh boy, I hope you survive. You'll have to listen next week to hear the exciting conclusion.
The exciting conclusion.
Oh boy, we're really in trouble here.
I guess I don't know. I'm not good at cliffhangers, coming up with good cliffhangers.
All right. Well,
so.
Yeah, I didn't think you mentioned all the Patreon stuff at the start, unless you did and I forgot.
No, I don't think I did. It's 50-50 whether I remember to do that or not, but I will say it right now that TetraCade is primarily supported by its readers and listeners and viewers. So if you like what we do and want to see us keep doing it, then consider supporting us through patreon.com/TetraCade. Or as little as a dollar a month will get you some cool benefits like a video version of this podcast. And some other cool stuff, maybe more cool stuff in the future if I can ever find the time to think of some cool stuff.
Yeah.
Additionally, you can help us out by doing your Amazon shopping through TouchArcade.com/Amazon, where we'll be able to get a little slice of anything you'd be buying anyways. So why not do it through our link and help us out along the way as you're buying your lifetime supply of toilet paper. Whatever you do on Amazon, I'm not going to judge you. And anything else I should mention? I feel like I destroyed myself by talking for an hour.
No, that's about it. So we'll see you next week. Oh, God, Jared, it looks like someone's breaking into your house behind you. Oh, we'll have to wait for the exciting conclusion. Oh, shit. No!